Welcome to Code Words, a podcast for developers by developers. Join us for an informal coffee chat with code newbies, senior engineers, and more. Wherever you are on your unique coding journey, we've got you covered.
Hey, my name's Rob, and in this episode, we're having another Command Shift catch-up. Command Shift is a renowned bootcamp course designed to land you a new career as a software engineer. Study part-time and from the comfort of your own home. Last time, we had a chat about learning the building blocks of code, and this time, we're turning our attention to back-end. We've just finished the back-end module, and once again, I'm joined by Chris, Mike, and Tony. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
All good, yeah, all good.
Yeah, good, thanks, Rob. Good to be back.
Feels like 5 minutes ago since we last did this. But we are not alone. Today we have Lisa and Dragos, our tutors from the course. How are you doing?
Hello. Good, thank you.
Yeah, fantastic.
Thank you for taking the time to be here. Awesome. So firstly, Lisa and Dragos, for those that might not know you, can you tell us about yourself and what code newbies can expect to learn in the backend module?
So yeah, my background is being a maths teacher. So yeah, I did the course last year and absolutely loved every second of it. It was absolutely amazing. So I've got my first tech job starting later this year, which I'm absolutely looking forward to, very excited for. And obviously now tutoring on the Command Shift course as well, which is pretty cool. I think newbies coming into the back end, you get to learn lots of things about probably things you've never even thought about. How does the internet actually work? Which is quite an interesting one that you probably never thought about before. So you get to build your own APIs, which help you interact with databases to do things like retrieve information or create new entries in databases, that sort of thing. And we teach you all about like the best way to do these things. So industry standards, that sort of thing. I'm trying to think now. What else? Go through things like Docker, which helps create containers for you. Use SQL and PostgreSQL. And I think I said Express already. And what else do we use? Dragos can help me out here. Is there anything I'm missing here?
Absolutely. Lisa covered most of the things. But like she mentioned, adding on top of the best practices, I think test-driven development and driving your APIs, building them, based on the tests, it's a really good one, and it all kind of culminates with deploying all of these APIs in the cloud.
Thank you very much. And Dragos, can you tell us about your background? Are you a self-starter or are you a computer science graduate?
I'm none of these, actually, surprisingly. So I did go down the route of a degree. So I do have a technical degree, but not in computer science, because I never fancied doing more maths and more physics and all that stuff, or algorithms. My degree is in multimedia and IT, which was more focused on just programming and how the internet and the media kind of contributes to all of that. So we built lots of websites and mobile apps and even played a little bit with VR like 10 years ago when it was just in its infancy. So interesting to see it revive nowadays. In my day-to-day, I'm a senior developer with booking.com, and I've been with Command Shift for about 2 years and a half now. I've started by being a tutor, and now I'm the module lead for the backend module.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll come back to you in just a moment. But now, Chris, Mike, and Tony, how familiar with backend were you before you started this module?
Who's going to jump in on that one?
Yeah. Last time we all looked over each other, this time we're a bit more hesitant. me personally, I didn't know anything. I wouldn't even be able to describe what backend was. I understood it was sort of the back, sort of the behind the scenes sort of stuff, but I wouldn't be able to tell you what an API is, what Docker is, what SQL language is. So yeah, I covered a lot, and I'd say I understand a lot more of it than I did.
Tony, do you want to come in now?
Yeah, sure. So like Chris, no experience at all. I'd heard the software guys at work talk about databases and SQL and all these terms that I didn't know what they were talking about. So, I've heard the terms, but no practical experience whatsoever. It was all new to me.
And Mike, what about you?
I'm kind of the same as the other guys, I think. With front end, I think, although I would have said I you know, my coding knowledge was zero before kind of starting this process. Front end, I think, looking back now, you do subconsciously absorb a lot from, like, I don't know, you do pick up more front end general knowledge, I think, without knowing it. Whereas the back end side of things, I think quite literally, because it is the back end, a lot of it is hidden away. You know, a lot of those processes aren't seen. It's harder to glean exactly what's going on there. So my world's been kind of completely opened up. Like Chris was saying, you know, we've covered so much, but my prior knowledge was pretty much zero.
Okay. Lisa, you're a former Command Shift Bootcamp, or Manchester Code as it was known, student. Had you any experience with backend before you joined?
No, nothing. I actually had no experience really of any thing we got taught on the course, other than I had done some other languages before. But yeah, I'd not done any HTML or CSS. So yeah, absolutely nothing from backend at all.
Okay. Mike, you said you can't really see what's going on. What did you mean by that? Are you more of you like to see your changes happening in like a live server or on a VS Code extension or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I kind of meant was like with front end, you know, it's like if you want to visibly kind of display what's happening, the whole, like, the kind of fundamental nature of front end is it needs to be user friendly. It needs to be kind of, there is a user going to be interacting with it in most cases. So there's kind of something tangible that changes on the screen, or something that, like, you click, or, you know what I mean? It's much more kind of something changes in front of you. Whereas I think back end, my knowledge of it was lacking because, you know, with an API, for example, you know, you send a request and something comes back, but it's like, what's happening there? You know what I mean? It's like, what? There's loads of different connections and there's a process there, but it's all happening behind the scenes. It's been really, really good to kind of properly understand what's happening and like what's talking to what and just why you get the response you do. It doesn't just kind of appear out of thin air somewhere.
Is there a language or piece of technology that you learned about that you enjoyed the most? Chris, Tony, you're welcome to come in on this. By the way, you're so well behaved today. Is it because we've got tutors here? Last time you were a bit rowdy.
Yeah, getting marked.
Jump all over it, yeah. I think for me the API stuff was really cool. I mean, like, it's, although kind of I'm still fully kind of grasping how much they can do, I think you really get a sense of like the potentials there. Do you know what I mean? Like building things in the future, there's API for all different kinds of like functionality in that, and I think that's been something that I've really enjoyed. You know, it's kind of exciting now that I've got more knowledge of that. You know, what's going to happen? Like, what can I build with that moving forward, I guess?
And Tony, how do you feel about AWS? I ask you that question because you, I think you put in our Slack channel a link to a virtual reality game. Was that what it was? Or role-playing game?
Oh, yeah. So, one of the tutors put us onto that during the breakout on the AWS lecture. So that's something else that I need to circle round back to and have a go at. But I was actually thinking of AWS as an example of something that I enjoyed just because I've heard so much about it, and it was nice to do some real world work. Not that the rest isn't real world, but
it's fake world work, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, just something that you know you hear a lot about, and you're familiar with the brand and everything. And yeah, Dragos took us through a demonstration of how to set it up. So, as in deploying your application. So that was really interesting. I enjoyed that a lot.
What I found cool about AWS, like I didn't have a clue what it was, and then I was downloading a form off somewhere the other day, and I just saw the sort of URL, and it was linking it to an S3 AWS sort of thing, and I was like, oh, I wouldn't have even noticed that before.
I know, yeah.
And now I'm using a bucket from AWS just to download something, and I didn't realize how often it was used and how it sort of built into the internet.
Did you do the code along with Dragos when he was doing that?
Not at all. You know what put me off? Dragos was like, warning, you may have to pay for that. And I was just like, nope. I don't trust myself not to make a mistake and like max out my credit card.
That's a good point, that one.
He was going too fast.
Dragos, were you going too fast?
Oh, I hope not, but I'll take that feedback on board for sure.
No, I think I understood it. I just was not confident enough to code along with it.
I was coding along, but I hadn't finished the music library at this point. I just did it anyway. I figured, why the hell not? Fine, I'll do it.
Something I did use code along with was the render, which was pretty cool.
Oh,
trying to incorporate that into the book library as well, but I've not finished the book library yet, so I think that's sort of like an afterthought. Should be trying to put render on it.
Speaking of finishing things, were you able to finish everything on the course?
Well, No. I'm still working from the book library. The last few days has been mentally busy, so I've not got as much done on it as I wanted, but I've just sort of started back up on it, and I'm very near the end of it. I want to send it off for a code review once I've sort of polished it off a little bit.
Code reviews are something typically Lisa would do. How did you find that process of reviewing someone else's code, Lisa?
Yeah, the code reviews, I really enjoy doing them. I find them really, really enjoyable doing them. I just like getting into everyone's code and seeing everyone's styles. It's really interesting. You actually learn, I think you learn things while you're doing it, just, you know, seeing how everyone else does it. It's really good. I enjoy it. So, yes, everybody submit your code for review, please.
This might be a bit philosophical here, but are you able to grasp someone's personality from their code style?
I don't think I'm philosophical enough to do that. Maybe somebody else could.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing there. Maybe not.
I'm too technical.
You just see mine and it's like the lint has lit up like a Christmas tree. And you're like, yeah, I've grasped everything I need to know about Mike from that. That's my life in a nutshell.
Going back to my question there, I haven't finished everything on the course either, but Dragos said something a few weeks ago that stood out to me. And I don't know why it took me so long to realize it, that the boot camp gives you the opportunity to connect with tutors and developers that you wouldn't have if you didn't do the boot camp, or you might not have. So spending that time with these people and helping them break down the bugs you're going through is the most valuable part of it for me. And ever since then, I've had a problem. I will ask for help, like relentlessly ask for help. If I'm stuck and I've been on it for like half an hour maybe, I need help, I'm not afraid to ask for it anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What do you think about people who don't? Because I always think I'm always asking for help, but there seems to be a core of people, and I don't necessarily think those people need the most help. So it surprises me that everybody doesn't ask for help, and I'm not sure why. Where are they getting their help from?
I think we always just get a range of students. Some, I think, are more confident asking for help, and some are just reluctant to, and we encourage them as much as we can. And yeah, sometimes I think people are just too afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I hate asking for their assistance, but I will post when I really need it and when I'm getting sort of frustrated. But I'll sort of battle with myself first, and then if I do need it, I'll pop up to someone who I can see is online, and then as sort of like a final resort, I sort of put in the Slack channel, because I just think, oh, it's gonna be something really obvious, and I've missed it, and I'm gonna know the answer anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm always hesitant.
Do you find yourself debugging while you're typing your question for help or your request for help?
That's the most useful thing I've found. Every time I write out a question, most of the time I'll send a message back saying, actually, I've got this.
Never mind.
Yeah, never mind. It was just a comma.
Do you folks know that is an actual term in programming? It's called rubber ducking.
Ah. Actually, I have a rubber duck in my room. I should start using it more. It's called it's a David Bowie duck. Ziggy Starduck. That's what he's called. There we go.
Nice.
Yeah. A friend got it for me from Brighton, actually. So yeah, I need to utilize the duck a bit more.
Yeah. Oh, I live in Brighton. If anyone needs a new duck best friend, that shop is incredible. It's like, if you can name someone that's Luke, they have a duck version of them in that shop. Really? It's brilliant. I have on my desk, I have Jeff Goldblum as his character. Well, duck Jeff Goldblum as his character from Jurassic Park.
And oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah. You can see a picture of this.
I will. I'll put a photo in the chat afterwards.
Put it in the Slack, yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah. It's there's some pretty awesome ones. just as a footnote out there.
I feel like I am picturing it in a very bizarre way.
Yeah, this duck has a hairy chest sticking out, right? Is that what I'm? That's what I'm seeing.
He does. He's kind of like lounging. He's got his big black quip, and yeah, it's cool. Nice. Anyway, sorry, Rob. No.
It's nice to have a distraction every now and again.
Down the rabbit hole.
No, it's absolutely fine.
Rubber ducks.
Now, I know, Chris, you said you were nearly there, but did any of you get to the point of deploying your music libraries?
No, that's my kind of next to home. I'm only just kind of wrapping up the music library, the album, adding all the album stuff. That's kind of my, I've got a few of little steps left just to polish that off, and then deployment's the next step.
Tony, is that the same for you?
Yeah, so what I did, probably rightly or wrongly, I didn't do the last section of the music library, and then went on to the book library, got halfway through that, and I circled back to the music library and did the album section. So I haven't deployed it yet. It was one of the lectures that I missed, and so I probably lack a bit of confidence. I did watch the lecture when I got back. I watched a recording of it, but I just watched the recording. I didn't do the practical because I hadn't finished it, so it's another one of those things that I need to do. Is that deploying it onto Render? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it.
So I haven't done that yet.
So you had a week out, as you just said there. Do you feel like that impacted? Obviously, it has. What would you do next time to get around that? Is it possible to get around that for you?
No, it was work related. So because it was a different time zone, I couldn't even attend the lectures because it was 10 o'clock in the morning, basically, in on the West Coast. So, yeah, it's I think, over a period of 6 months, it's if you've got a full time job, these things are going to happen. And I've been quite lucky. I've only missed 1 week. So yeah, you've asked me if I've done the one thing that I missed, and
just to trip you up there, sorry.
But what I would say is the beauty of the course is it is recorded, and I am confident that I could go back and deploy that using the lecture recording. So I do fully intend to do it.
I want to go back to something I think Mike said about recognizing. Well, you may have said it, Tony, I can't remember now, about recognizing your development, because I know if I'm getting a false positive, and I know it's weird to say, but I can feel a false positive when I've got one. It's like, that's not what I wanted to do. but I've got a green tick anyway. Have you noticed that at all? Are you able to spot where you think you're going wrong, even though it says it's right?
Yes, yeah. But normally, because it's too easy.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like, I think we all know now, you know, like, if something, and, you know, not to say that like, you know, there won't be things that we just grasp and they come kind of really quickly. But my kind of, in the early days, you know, I'd be like, oh, look, that's green. Oh, yeah, that's brilliant. Oh, yeah, like, that's passed. And then you, like, now, you know, you have, I think we all have kind of a feel for what's a normal amount of effort, and comes back to the kind of when to ask for help and stuff as well. I think this is in the kind of same category. I think you get more of a feel of, right, I've spent too much time on this. Like, you know, this is not going to move anywhere without maybe another 20 hours of my time. Or you get, like, the other side of it is, I've only spent 5 minutes looking at that problem and it's passed. And then I only spent 5 minutes on the one after that and it passed. And then by the third one, you're like, wait a minute. I don't know about you guys, but it definitely doesn't come that easily for me. So in those cases, you know, I've known to kind of go back to the, you know, I think you're exactly right, Rob. You get kind of a shorthand about when you're close, when you're not close, and when you're just straight wrong.
It's that classic meme, isn't it? It's a trap. Like, when it goes too well, like, exactly, all right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what I found cool about backend is if you pass a test, you can always sort of go and check on Postman that it's doing what you think it should be doing. So you can sort of double check. I mean, not with everything, but double check it's been added to the database or it's posting or getting all the right things. And you can sort of put your mind at ease a little bit, because it's not just a green tick. You can actually see it happening as well, which is quite cool.
I said this on Twitter, and I'm just putting it in now because I feel like it. I'm in awe of you three, and Lisa and Dragos, but you three in particular, because I see how hard you work. I see how hungry you are to get this career, and it makes me want to be better. So I don't want to go into the next module on the back foot, so I'm trying to get prepared now. So I've been doing a bit of React here and there. I just want to say thank you, really. That was it. Yeah, anyway. Sorry, Mike.
I agree with Tony. It's definitely a... No, it's fine. I agree. It's important side note there is, you know, I'm very glad that I come across somewhat graceful from an outside perspective, but it definitely doesn't feel like that internally most of the time. It's a lot of failing forwards, as they say. it is what it is. It's just kind of pushing forwards and, yeah.
What I think is really cool is, like, the obviously all of us as a group, we're all quite well connected, and that's only going to help make us all better software engineers.
You can do the back end and I'll do the front end.
Yeah, exactly. But it links back to what you said earlier before I think you started recording. It's, you know, we all have different strengths, and using someone else's strength to learn something isn't a bad thing. That's how you get there in life, isn't it?
I think it goes back to that thing as well. We don't monopolize our resources. If we find something that helps us, we share. I mean, this is the same for the whole cohort. Everyone shares what helps them learn. And I think that's a great way of doing it. Like, why would you hide or try and keep your cards close to your chest? It's not going to work.
Yeah, I found with this course that there's no... in other courses, there's a competitiveness, isn't there? Like, who's going to be top of the class and whatnot. But there's none of that with this at all. It's just not even... it's not even there. And I really like that. Everybody helps each other and... is really willing to help everybody gets stuck in, and that's really nice. And it's how it should be. There, it's not a competition, is it?
No. Well, the only competition is with yourself. If you can try and be better than you were, I don't know, last month, last year, that's progress for you, and that's all that matters, right? That's the way I see it, anyway. Did any of you get a chance to drive mob programming sessions during this module?
Oh, God,
too much.
Too much. Would you like less?
Yeah. Because you just had the awkward silence at the beginning every time, and you're like, right, I'll do it then.
Yeah.
Who cracks first? So, well, there's quite there's some crafty people, and they'll say, has anybody called? And I was stupid enough to say yes, and then that automatically makes you the driver, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think my internet failed when we at one point when we were asking who was going to drive. Like, oh, sorry, my internet just crashed. I'll be back in a minute. Legit happened.
I was driving for the cat app and I was really tired. I had such a long day. I did not want to drive, but no, I thought I'll do it. I've got it all installed. And we just had a right nightmare throughout the whole thing. Lisa was with us on that one.
Yeah, that was fun.
I heard you laughing, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And I feel like I was in the one that I got Tony to drive as well.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And I was. It was as bad.
Was I the one that said, has anyone installed this? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was exactly the same, Chris. I think somebody was saying, like, I don't know, do an NPM start or whatever. And I was like, I had this blank where I didn't even know how to do that. And I was. I am so tired, everyone. I just can't. I can't think.
It's really hard.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's really hard to focus on doing anything when all these eyes are on you. It's like, I can't human when people are staring at me. Like, I can't do it. I can't drink tea or anything. I do think it was a good experience, though.
It was. It does focus the mind a bit. It was where it was. Good. It was a good experience. It was a good experience.
Did it bring you out of your comfort zone? I know it did me.
Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I think it's you know, there's been times I think I've driven twice maybe, and like there's times where like, well, I one time specifically, I think it might have been the cat one again. We had a bit of a mare. I think it took us like 45 minutes just to get the setup bit done, but like I don't know, like you say, my brain was just not functioning at that point, and. Like, but because the others were telling me what to do, it did really help me because I was like physically having to type it and stuff. And like by the end, it's almost like taking control of your hands and like by the end, I kind of get this just by like the repetition and like the moving. So yeah, I think it is a great exercise. It's just like you said. It can be a bit a real brain burner getting it all set up.
I'm actually this is going to sound really bad. I'm actually surprised you guys found it so stressful because I didn't. But I think maybe because I'm a teacher and I'm used to like 30 adolescent children staring at me far worse behaviour than grown ups. It probably. Was nowhere near as intimidating as that, so I think that's probably why I didn't actually find it too bad. Because I've done some embarrassing things in front of children anyway, so you know it's fine.
Yeah. Such as I'm kidding, it's fine.
Go one time with my my top inside out, and one of the, luckily
not
one of the
bad, is it?
It's my children came up to me quietly at the end of the lesson and whispered to me, you've got your top inside out, miss. And I was like, oh my God. And I hadn't been teaching very long. I think it might be my first year or my second year. So I was mortified. Like, now I wouldn't even care. And I was just like, I've got to go change. I'm going to get them sorted out. So yeah, I think after you've done like things like that and yeah, you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Dragos, does mob programming, driving the mob session come naturally to you? Or do you find it a bit intimidating at first?
Well, now I actually, I guess there was definitely a time when I didn't, but I'm glad to hear the students have found it useful, because I feel like one of the big misunderstandings of this technique, the driver navigator technique, is that you have to do everything, which is totally not the case, right? So I am surprised to hear that you felt all of that stress, because technically the people who are meant to figure out what needs to happen are your teammates and your mob mates. You're just meant to do and follow their guidance, right? So it just like having a co-pilot next to you. The co-pilot needs to figure out where to go next, where to implement it. So Yeah, I feel like that's one of the big misunderstandings of this technique, and hopefully the following students will find this a bit less stressful.
I think we understood it. I mean, it's when you're faced with like a problem and then there's just silence, you're like, right, well, now it's on me. No one's answered, so now I've got to fix this.
If I don't type anything, no one will.
Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't have that problem. It wasn't...
No, we can't shut you up, can we, Tony? I'm kidding.
Not. It was the not knowing what I was doing. That was the problem I had.
I suffer from the same problem, Tony. It's fine.
Charming.
Now, I don't know about you, but I personally suffered with imposter syndrome big style in this back-end module. I don't know why. I just did. Actually, I do know why. It's because I'd stopped following the track, and I know that sounds bad, but as soon as I went back to the track, I was like, okay, now I have my direction again. And there was a night when I couldn't go to sleep because I was thinking, oh, I'm so far behind. I'm never going to get this. I'm too stupid to get this. Everyone else is breezing through this. And I'm like, am I kidding myself? Is this career a fantasy for me? Is this actually going to happen? Then I was like, go to bed and do what you know you have to do, and that's ask for help in the morning. And shout out to Nick as well, because Nick was absolutely fantastic the next day. He was incredible. Really helped see that what I thought was a massive issue turn out to be a tiny little thing.
For me, on the back end, the opposite. I felt okay because mainly because of the amount of support we got from the tutors. Like, I've never known someone ask for feedback as much as Dragos. You know, he set up a group just to get feedback. He was constantly harassing us to provide feedback.
Encouraging us.
No, I'm going to stick with harassing.
All right, okay.
But it was good because it made me feel like, okay, like, I've got that backup. If I really, you know, Dreos, we want to really improve this course, and we're making it industry worthy. So I felt supported by that.
Mike, Tony, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I get it all the time. I think unless I'm 100% nailed on with the track and knowing what I'm doing, then I do suffer with it terribly. So you're not alone, and we always say this, don't we? I think it's normal. That's what gets me through it. That we all feel it. At some point, and I think you said it today, or in response to Dragos's question on Twitter, that you know, we've only been doing this course 6 weeks, so you know, get a reality check. We're students. We're not experts. We're not supposed to be experts. So I'm comfortable with it sometimes.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, I saw a meme.
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I may chip in there, Rob, is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Although I haven't suffered from imposter syndrome in a long time, I do remember a time when I was in your position. And funnily enough, you mentioning it made me realize that actually I do feel like this. I just don't name it, you know?
Okay.
And I found myself in a similar position actually very recently, because I've recently been promoted. And although I have been doing everything this role requires for the past year, suddenly putting a role to it kind of raised the responsibility and the awareness of certain responsibilities. So I did find myself in the past couple of weeks just thinking, oh, I should know this. Like, why didn't I know this? I just got promoted. And I feel like that's not the case. Like, I'm totally capable of doing those things. It's just I just have to stop worrying about what I don't know and focus on how I can learn.
I couldn't have put it any better myself. I think that's exactly it. Yeah.
I think that's it. It's always, you know, anyone can get it at any age. I didn't get it in the course, but as soon as I started to apply for jobs, it like hit me so hard. And I was like, whoa, where's this come from? And yeah, I was just like, why would anyone want to hire me? You know, I don't know anything compared to all these like job adverts and stuff. But yeah, I think like Dragos said, you know, you're not expected to know everything. So yeah, and just go easy on yourself. And you probably think that nobody else, like, you know, you were saying, Rob, you know, everybody else seems to be breezing through and nobody else seems to be feeling like this. I guarantee you that most people probably feeling it in some degree, and, you know, and they're probably feeling very similar to you.
I did find a way that helped me contain it, and that was laughing at stupid things, anything, just forgetting about the coding issue and just moving away from it for a little bit and then coming back to it. As soon as I started laughing at nonsense with my friends, like, I quickly forgot about my imposter syndrome. It just disappeared.
Yeah, whatever works for you, I suppose.
Yeah, that works for me, Tony. Some people drink, laugh.
I wish it worked for me. Yeah, red wine. That's my, that gives me so much confidence.
Oh, I bet it does. I saw a meme today that said, sucking at something is the first step to getting kind of good at something. Is that a decent way to look at your struggle of learning to code? I know it is for me. Because I look back now, using Terminal and GitHub, for example, they are things that I struggled with, like, very early on. And now I do it habitually.
I think I agree with that a lot. I think that's one thing I realized on this kind of journey is, like, the fact that, you know, if you think about, we all have busy day jobs, you know, we've all done an 8-hour shift or longer. You know what I mean? I'm getting up at 6 in the morning at the minute. And then, like by the point of you sitting in front of the computer to do your lecture, you've already done, like, you know, a 12-hour day or something, and then you're sitting down to learn. So, like, I'm a huge believer of, like, the fact that you just show up every day and just try, like, is a huge achievement in itself. You know, a lot of people don't bother to get to that point. Like, they say they're going to do it, they want to try, but they don't actually get, you know, they don't actually try and, like, push themselves to get to there. So I think you have to remember as well that, like, it's the holistic thing. It's not just, like, the coding journey, you know. If I could quit my day job and just, like, you know, do this all day every day, I'm sure my brain would, like, grasp things quicker. But I think, you know, it's okay to be a bit crap to start with. You know, it's okay to suck. It's okay to just be trying, you know what I mean? And you know, there's a process there. Like, you will get it eventually.
Yeah, I think what's weird from being a career changer is most of us have had careers where have been in for a while and we've got some sort of flow with it, and because it's so different and you know nothing, it takes you back more. Like, in a kitchen, I could jump into any kitchen and I'd be super confident. Put me in any coding environment, even though I've done this course, I'd be super nervous and I wouldn't know where to start. And I think that's what sort of you got to remember is you are at the bottom of the ladder and you're learning. The only way is up, really. But yeah, you've just got to keep that in the back of your mind. It's different. You've not been in this career for 10 years. You've not built up that muscle memory yet.
Yeah, and even if you've been in this career for 10 years. There are still things you'll always have to learn and struggle with a little bit. So as an example, I'm now working towards my first AWS certification. And although I do have all of that knowledge, I still find areas where I'm struggling to grasp some concepts. And I guess I just have to learn that it's part of the journey. So going back to what Rob said, yeah, struggling, I feel like it is definitely the first step to learning something.
I think you have to remember as well that you might be an expert in your day job now. I'm talking to you there, Chris, and myself as a PR executive. We can do that fine because we've been doing it for so long. But there was a time when we made mistakes then too. It's just the natural process, as you say, of learning.
Yeah, it just feels so far detached because it's been so long. So it's a new, it's almost like a new experience. But no, I'm enjoying it, actually. It's such a new out your comfort zone, what I've not had for a while. Mm.
I'd agree with that too. You mentioned there that Dragos loves feedback. I'm just wondering, Dragos, is there any feedback you've received from our cohort that you might implement in the next time you do it? The course, that is.
Oh, There's loads of feedback. I may have bullied you folks into giving us. I will never admit to that.
It's not a smear campaign. No, it's all good.
All I can say is the harassing worked, and we got really interesting outputs from all of you. For me, one of the most exciting things I'm looking forward to implement for the next folks coming onto the backend module is something I've noticed throughout your, which is you've kind of struggled to understand migrations. And I don't think this is on you, really. I feel like there's definitely space for us to do a better job at explaining what a migration is, how does it work, how you can add new migrations. And that's not even the most exciting thing, actually. As a small tidbit, we're looking to do it in video format. So adding a bit more content, interesting content to the track, as opposed to it being all text. So we want to do that in a video format. That's what I'm really excited about.
Tandeep answered Dragoshi's question today on Twitter quite well as well, when and it reminded me there's the odd thing like Docker, where at the time I was thinking I'll never grasp this, and then later on in the track all it is a tool that runs in the background, and all I ever did was press play. And I remember when we did the lecture on it, I was like terrified of thinking how complicated it was, and yet you get further through the track and it's just something that it's just a means to an end, isn't it? You don't have to be afraid of some of these technologies. It's they're there just to make the app work, I suppose. And I was like that with Docker, and I think Tandeep summed it up quite well. You know, there's things that you should focus on, and there's other things that are just tools that you don't really need to worry about.
Okay, Chris, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah, mine was more a point on the migrations point of what sort of Dragos brought up. I was just, I know Mike did, we all sort of got stuck on the migrations, and after taking sort of like a deep dive into it and figuring it out, and I've got a really good understanding of what not to do now. But yeah, to have that now on the track is going to be hugely like beneficial for, I mean, it's going to stop someone having that struggle. But that struggle was good for me in the end. But yeah, if it stops multiple people getting stuck down a rabbit hole, it can't be a bad thing.
This is a question for you, Dragos. When you get to the end of a lecture and nobody has questions, how do you feel about that? What's going on in your head?
Oh, so many things, but I think my first like natural instinct to say is to think, oh, I did such a terrible job explaining this that nobody has the courage to actually say anything to me. And instead of saying, oh, I do have a question, like, you know, can you explain this better, they kind of go in and say, ah, I'm too afraid to ask this question because they're gonna think, you know, I didn't understand anything. That's my initial thought, I think. But following on from that, I think the reality is there is absolutely no way that I've done a perfect job and everything is crystal clear. Like, you folks are learning about whatever we're teaching you for the then and there. So there are probably a million questions you have. So then I have to figure out how do we build, I guess, an environment where you trust us and you feel safe to ask those questions, either after the fact, after you've had some time to process everything, or then in private, or in the Slack channel, in the cohort channel, so that we can further clarify things. That's what I'm thinking. How do we get you to actually speak up?
Dragos, I just want to say that I'm very grateful for your support, as I am with everyone else's support. But I suffered a personal bereavement throughout the backend module, and you always checked in with me to see how I was doing. You always offered me help and support, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you.
Yeah, very well.
I think what's worth saying there as well is you know, obviously I second what Rob said. You know, all the support we've had has been incredible. I'd just like to say the backend tutors do an amazing job at making very complex topics easy to digest. I think, I don't know about, I'd be interested to see what the other cohort members' opinion on this is, but I think I often think of a lot more questions like the day after, because I think the way my brain works is I'm like processing a new topic or a new idea, and it's almost like I've thought a lot, you know, when the kind of call for questions goes out, it's almost like I don't know what I want to ask, what I want to know more about, if that makes sense to you guys. It's kind of like the topics still kind of trickling down and like processing through my brain. And it's almost like, I wouldn't say my brain's kind of, hitting me. And then I'll often wake up the morning after and rewatch the video or something. And then I'll be like, I remember everything, and it all did go in. It's just, it's that one area there that didn't quite sink in. So it you know, from my perspective at least, Dragos, it's usually kind of me just processing everything rather than, you know, you've done a bad job of explaining something. And I don't know if you guys are the same, but you know, it's normally kind of in that moment I'm just kind of, it's still all going into my brain.
Yeah, Mike, you've got the words out my mouth.
And it goes back to the other thing you said about working all day and then coming to do a boot camp. Your brain needs to process what you're hearing. So yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
And I think sometimes you're watching a lecture and you're taking it all in, and you don't have a question. It's fine, isn't it? And so, you know, they ask for that feedback as in thumbs up. So most of the time, you understand what's said. Most of the time, and you genuinely don't have a question.
Yeah. Also, I'm a very practical person as well in the way I learn. Like, I learn by doing and like messing it up myself. So I'll often understand something really well theoretically, and I'll be like, yeah, that's brilliant. And then like you say, we come to the mob programming section. And I'll go, I'll drive. I have a good sense of this. Or like, I'll say to someone, why don't you put that there? No, this is how it works. And I'm like, actually, yeah, I need to. So it's, I learn by kind of like, you know, my theoretical knowledge and my practical knowledge are two completely separate things in my mind. I have a lot of options once I've kind of tried and failed doing it myself many times.
Now, I've got a question for Chris, Mike and Tony. How do you utilise the lectures when you're watching them? Do you make notes on pen and paper, or do you do code along in VS Code or something like that?
I always make notes personally. I just jot down highlights, knowing that it's recorded. I don't know, at the back of my mind, I always think I can go back and rewatch it in my own time, and I do that quite often, and then rewind, watch. But yeah, during lectures, I have pen and paper.
Chris, Mike, is that the same for you?
Opposite. I have a pen and paper, but I just draw random pictures of faces.
okay.
but it is mainly because, no, by that point in the evening, I am brain dead. I start at 4 in the morning, and then by the time it comes to lecture time, my brain is not functioning. So I sort of sit there, sometimes even like I'll turn the camera off and just sort of stare at the screen blankly, but trying to take as much in as I can. And then the morning, on my day off, I will rewatch the lecture and sort of jot down little things I was unsure about and unhappy with, and then sort of try and implement that somewhere. So yeah, the actual lecture, sometimes that's why I don't have a question, because I'm just
trying to stay awake.
Trying to stay awake, trying to keep as much in my brain as I can, and then I do like to rewatch the lectures afterwards.
I've started coding along with whatever we're learning about, simply because I did it. Because Dragos asked us to code along if we wanted to with one thing, I can't remember what it was now. But now I like the habit of gaining that muscle memory that way as well, of just copying. I'm going to use copying loosely there, copying what they're doing so I can do it too. We're nearly at the end of this episode, but I want to ask you a question now. Chris, Mike and Tony first. if you had to choose right now, are you front end, back end, or full stack? Where are you going with this?
I think
we haven't done front end yet.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say.
I didn't think.
I wasn't sure I was going to love back end, and I've absolutely loved it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I don't know. Maybe it is something to look up further.
Okay, cool.
It's a good question, and I want to be full stack just because I don't know whether that's a right or wrong thing to do, you know, to be a generalist or a specialist. But in my head at the moment, I'm thinking full stack.
I think I'm kind of along Tony's lines. I think the way I've kind of been learning and stuff is like every new topic puts the other topics into more perspective, like a greater perspective. And I've been enjoying, doing a bit of front, like HTML, CSS, a bit of like back end, and like seeing it all kind of click together. So I think I've been kind of going down the full stack route.
Okay.
I'm echoing what Tony said though, really. I don't know, you know, if that's right or wrong, or that's what I'm enjoying at the moment, but I don't know, career-wise, if that's good or not.
I think one thing I was going to add is it sounds like all of you are still keeping all your options open, which is probably the healthiest attitude to have when going into a new field, because you've got so much time to decide which path you want to go down on. So right now, keeping your options open is probably the best thing you can do for your career, and you've still got loads of time to decide what you want to go deeper into.
That's good to know.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dragosh. Now I like to end the show with a new feature I'm calling Celebrating Our Small Victories. So, Chris, we're going to start with you because you're at the top of my list at the
that
moment.
That was not fair.
Okay. Lisa, you're at the bottom of the list. What's your small victory?
For what time frame are we doing?
Coding in the last few days.
Oh, my word. I don't know if I've actually coded anything in the last few days other than code reviews.
Or so. Putting your T-shirt on the right way. That can be a small victory. Like, that's
well done,
actually,
Lisa.
I did some Git commands that I'd never used before, and I did them successfully. So there we are. That's my
small victory.
Cool. So learning some new Git.
Wasn't Git commit, was it?
Is that a personal joke there? I don't get that one. An in joke. I'd love to be part of an in joke.
Because I always forget to do Git commit.
But
yeah, there you go.
You got to commit, Tony. You got to commit.
I know.
Dragosh, do you have a small victory recently for us?
I've got many. I feel like every day, you know, at the end of the day, it's a new victory. That's first lately, but I'm just going to call out we've had a retrospective after finishing the backend module with you folks, and just seeing all of the tutors I work with come together and wanting to improve the module was really great, and I felt like I managed to build a team that really cares about this. So for me, that's a huge victory, not a small victory.
Huge one.
I'll drink to that. I've got a glass of water, but that will have to do. Yeah, thanks to Nick, Will, and Ian, and Ian's cat as well, and everyone else on the course. They're fantastic.
Ian's cat.
Chris, did you give us your small victory? I can't remember now.
No, I sort of avoided the question.
Okay, that'll be why.
I guess I've not really done it. Too much coding in the last few days, but I have had a really cool code interview with someone, which
nice.
I don't know how it's going to go, but I really enjoyed the process of talking to someone about code. It was an hour interview, and there was maybe four developers on, all on a group call, and it was it wasn't a really formal interview, I guess. It was just a chat, and I found that was a huge victory for me, because I was able to show them what I've been doing throughout the course. and they commented on things. I said, oh, that's quite cool. Yeah, I liked that. And yeah, that was a victory. I was able to speak about code.
Nice. I'll drink to that too.
That's impressive.
Yeah, well done.
All right, Tony, you're up next.
Mine's pathetic compared to that.
No, it's not. No.
You did say small win. Just it's like sounds trivial, but I was doing a course on one of these React courses on Scrimber, and it was like an exercise at the end, and he asked to put some JavaScript code in that would work, and I put some code in, and it actually worked, and that was like a nice feeling that I have actually learned something, and I've come a long way, and I didn't have to look at the answer, but it was rewarding. Yeah,
that's not a small victory. That's a massive victory. I'm taking that too.
Yeah. you don't know the line, but yeah, it was big. For
I
me.
Don't care what the line was, Tony. If you did it without referencing anything and it worked, go you. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike, last, I guess I'm the last one. Unless you want to go first.
I think mine's probably like my debugging skills, especially with backend. It's something I've found really hard with the backend side of things, is just me and Lisa actually had a, in our last Wednesday session, Lisa really helped me to kind of like comment out and console log and stuff, and so when I was adding some more functionality last night and today, it's like I was actually like progressing the debugging myself, you know what I mean? It's like I actually managed to like isolate it down and then like move it to a different error message, and like although I think it's a small win because you know you're not getting the test to pass, but like it felt really satisfying to know that I was like pushing it in the right direction. Like I'm actually very much as what Tony said, you know, it's that feeling when like you're like actually this somewhere in my brain, I understand this. It's clicking and you can push things forward in a way that you couldn't before. You know, it's just like one small step forwards each time. So yeah, I think that's drawing mine from last night and today.
I'll take that as well. Yeah, I had a similar thing with Dragos. He helped me debug stuff too. And there was one point he said, I can give you the answer, or do you want to wait a bit and try and figure it out a bit more? And I went, yeah, I want to do that second one. And then I came back to him and said, I've done it. And he was so proud. I was like, yes, that was awesome. So I loved that. And I also loved doing the React tutorial that I did yesterday, because sometimes I have issues installing NPM packages, but it went in fine this time and it was all great. So yeah, that's my small victory.
Mine didn't. The tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Mine didn't work.
There you go. It's always the little things. It's the moment you assume it's going to work, in my experience. If I even dare to assume anything, that's the thing that breaks.
Can't assume, because it makes an ass out of you and me, Mike. So Chris, Mike and Tony, would you like to come back for a third time when we've finished front end?
Yes.
Awesome.
If we make it.
Hell yeah.
If we make it, when make it. And secondly, thank you, Dragos and Lisa, for taking the time to speak with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Enjoy. Oh, you're very welcome.
So that's gonna do it for this episode. To learn more about the bootcamp, head over to commandshift.co. See you again next time for more code words.
Enjoyed this episode? Don't forget to rate, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Code Words. See tech differently.